If you recognize that as the father of the tenor saxophone, that was his unique sound, Coleman Hawkins. You're right. This is titled, oh my gosh, I forgot. Oh, Soul Blues. Soul Blues. I need some ginkgo biloba or something to keep my memory in peak condition. Kenny Burrell is on guitar, Ray Bryant on piano, Wendell Marshall on bass, and Ozzy Johnson on drums. This is from Coleman Hawkins' 1958 album. If you don't know Coleman Hawkins, you better hurry up and get to know him, because he's all over the place in jazz. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and what a day. Actually, what a day after. Yesterday was a blizzard of activity, and we're going to talk about that today. For one thing, we had the resignation of the special envoy for Haiti resigning. And why is he resigning, you ask? He cites the, this is his word, inhumane U.S. decision to deport thousands of Haitians from the U.S. border. Wow. He says in his resignation, he will, quote, not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees from the U.S.-Mexico border. He calls this plan, if you could call it a plan, deeply flawed. His words, deeply flawed. And he's out of here. He's done. Now, this is very bad. From a public relations point of view alone, it is very, very bad when one of your top people quits as a special envoy for Haiti. He says, I'm out of here. This is deeply flawed. This is wrong. This makes no sense. And I will not associate myself with it. Now, why can't we have more people, not just with regard to Haiti, but all these policies that we end up discussing as wrongheaded and plain stupid, but that would end up causing havoc in people's lives, millions of people, they don't say anything. Here we have the top guy, the special envoy, special U.S. envoy, saying he's out of here. He's done. Well, that tells you something. The Biden administration right now is in a huge bind, because it appears that nobody's thinking right now in the Biden administration about Haiti or about anything else. All they want to do is talk about these incentives and the, you know, the help they're giving Americans, lots of money, flinging money here, flinging money there. And this is supposed to help us get to a point of stasis in our lives as a nation. But this is really what is important. What the special envoy named Daniel Foote, F-O-O-T-E, what he's saying is that the U.S. has lost its mind. And there is no sense of rational direction. People are doing all kinds of crazy things in this time, and this is the worst time to do it. When an envoy tells the president, in effect, I don't want to be associated with you. I don't want to be associated with your administration. I do not want my reputation and my character besmirched by the insanity that is going on there in Washington, D.C. Well, you'd be crazy if you don't take a second and a third and a fourth look at that. That's a very dramatic way to bring attention to a problem. Not only just most people would just politely submit a letter of resignation and come up with some kind of diplomatic excuse as to why they must leave. He is not making any excuses. He says he is not going to be associated with a deeply flawed administration, making really bad decisions. And now, well, of course, you can read into that, that the administration is putting people in a position of acting as flacks for it. Who made the decision to do this business of corralling thousands and thousands of people, Haitian people, with the idea of deporting them en masse? Who came up with that brilliant idea that obviously Joe Biden rubber stamped? Obviously, Joe Biden is not opposed to it at all. I'll tell you why. There must be something in the water in Washington, D.C. Biden's administration has put out a notice of jobs available, very good paying jobs. And one of them is as a person to run the deportation and the prison center. God. But not only do they want somebody to run the prison, but the person has to speak Haitian Creole. In other words, they're looking for a Haitian to be responsible for the imprisonment and the supposedly kind treatment of Haitian prisoners. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful thing to do at this time? You know you have to be on some kind of mind-altering drug to come up with that plan. But that's what they want. Biden is putting out there that he is changing things up a bit. He wants a Haitian in charge of the imprisonment of other Haitians now. That makes sense to him. So now we can legitimately ask, the question, is he losing his mind? Or are the people around him so moronic that they don't see immediately that this is not a good plan? Yes, jobs are available for Haitians willing to incarcerate. Jesus. Oh, Lord. You can't make this thing up. That's what he wants to do. So we have the resignation of the special envoy to Haiti. That's the big news today with regard to Haiti and Haitians that the United States has targeted for, quote, repatriation, unquote. And in the minds of people getting a lot of money as a salary, this makes perfect sense. This is a great plan. And it ought to, I mean, what more you want? You have a Haitian who will head up the whole project. A Creole-speaking Haitian. He will speak Creole to you as your head gets bashed in. Absolutely. Sac passé. Boom. I'm telling you, somebody has got to be distributing massive quantities of mind-altering drugs in Washington, D.C. because no sane person could accept that this is normal. Well, so I'm worried about Biden and his capacity, his mental capacity. I truly think it's time to worry. Who is this man listening to? Where is he coming up with these cockamamie ideas? And it's not the only disaster confronting not just him, but the entire nation. We had the Democrats talking about the fact that, well, we don't know if we can move forward fully with our intended idea of providing some kind of an economic rescue for people who no longer have jobs, people who no longer have money, all those wonderful ideas that we laid out and we started to do to set people back on their feet. We're not sure we could do that. And we're thinking that as of probably within 2 weeks, we're going to cut all of that out. And we won't continue with this program anymore. You'll have to find a job. You'll have to find some way to support yourself. This is how they're letting the nation know that they do not intend, or it looks very likely, that they will not uphold their promise to provide some kind of a breathing room while people are out of jobs, while they can't provide for their families and themselves, that this promise, this plan that you held out as a fail-safe was going to be taking care of that period where things will be so disjointed in everybody's lives that it will take away some of the anxiety while they get ready for the next phase. However, they do that. But the one thing less that they would have to worry about is that they will have absolutely no money, no resources to begin the so-called next phase of their lives. Looks like that is going up in smoke. The thing is, the president hasn't announced it. And none of his high-level advisors have announced it. But it looks like it is likely to happen. People are going to be left high and dry. And then there will be panic, the likes we have not seen in a very long time. This is not the way to do business, Mr. Biden. This is not the way that people should be treated. This is not what you call policy. Where people wake up upon notice that the little money that they're getting to tide them over while they have no job, while they're fired from their jobs for all kinds of reasons, including refusing the vaccine, you are about to let them know indirectly, you're not telling them anything, that the well is going dry. And they will now have to figure out for themselves what they're going to do to take care of themselves and their families. Isn't it a nice way to do business? Isn't that great and responsible? The Democrats are saying nothing. Their idea is, look, you'll figure it out soon enough that you will have to make a miracle work here, because we don't see a miracle working. And the only reason they can do that is that they are absolutely sure that the people will not rise up and march down to Washington, D.C. and really, really make an issue of how this government is operating. Not even Donald Trump did this kind of stuff. You have people worrying now. Well, what do I do? The plan is, at least this is what is being discussed. Steep cuts have to be made, as in public assistance, as in any kind of assistance anybody is getting now. Steep cuts are going to be made. At least that's the prediction. That's what they say. Be prepared that steep cuts are going to be made. You will have to figure out, you and I, let me not exempt myself. I'm far from exempt. But steep cuts are coming. They're not coming for them. Oh, no. They're protected. They have money stashed in the bank. They have money stashed overseas. They have money stashed in their safety deposit boxes. You and I, while they're doing investments, we could barely spell investments. It's been so long that, in fact, for many of us, we've never had investments. But they're lowering the hammer pretty hard. That's the intention. And it will be explained that this was inevitable. We cannot carry the burden of subsidies anymore. You'll have to see to your own interests now, more than you ever did. Yes, we're sorry and we apologize for the inconvenience, blah, 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 blah. However, the well is drying up. Prepare yourself, because we don't see any new supply of water coming in to this well. They continue their lives. They continue to buy their boats and their cars and their new houses costing millions. They're living the life. They're not suffering. And whether they're Democrat or Republican, they are well situated to take care of themselves. The working people, there's a reason we call the working people. We have to go out of work, but there's no work. So find something. Be creative. Create your own work. We cannot continue to subsidize the nation's non-working people, no matter how legitimate their reasons for being unemployed are. It will now come to a personal judgment that essentially you have it a little bit too easy compared to other nations. You're doing very well. And while the nation should be today, the nation should be in a state of uproar. Maybe it's because we are so, I don't know what's the word, devastated, or we have been served so many calamities in recent times, that we've become accustomed to not having things. And they think, well, we could adjust. We are a hardy group. We're a tough group. We will adjust. It's just going to take just a matter of probably 6 months, a year, or something like that, but you'll be all right. You're tough. So it's just a matter of days. We see the president sinking quickly in the quicksand he has created for himself and the nation. We see no cogent, logical response. We see nothing that says, well, okay, things are bad, but it looks like we have some good minds and they will come up with something. No. There's only one something they will come up with, and that is the people will have to suffer. This involves great suffering. And they're not into suffering. They don't know what it is. But we do. We're accustomed to it. So it shouldn't be too bad to adjust once again to the whole experience of suffering, you see. America loves you. Remember, America loves you. And we want the best for all Americans, especially if now they speak Haitian Creole. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. Meanwhile, some misguided Democrats are crazily patting themselves on the back. Why? They have scored a victory, they claim. Where? In Puerto Rico. Yes. They have saved Puerto Rico. because they will make it possible for Puerto Rican people to make $10 an hour. Did you hear that? $10 an hour. And this gift will come to them soon. They have worked hard. They've toiled in the vineyards over this thing. And they have come up with a wonderful result. You could earn $10 an hour soon. Not right away. You have to be patient because these things don't happen quickly. You will get $10 an hour in a couple of years. Thank you for your democratic support. See, I said there's something in the water, or there's something in the air they're spraying that makes us go stupid. At least they think so. That we lose our minds and we're so grateful. Look, they made it possible. In about 2 to 3 years, I could make $10 an hour. Wow. Hookers make more than $10 an hour. In a way of speaking, that's what you're trying to make the whole country become, hookers. For that $10 an hour, for which you take 100% credit. Victory. That's right. We've worked hard for the people. So we have to ask our question to ourselves and get something of an answer. What is that question? Where do you go from here? Where is here, first of all, and where do you go from here? I could, see, it's saying. Well, look at it. It came back. All right. So that's what we'll be talking about today. Because we too temporarily ran off the rails. We believed these people, we entrusted our futures. We entrusted the country to these people, Democrats and Republicans and charlatans like Donald Trump. They have their plans. What are our plans? What do we do to survive? It's a very daunting question, but we've got to answer it. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. That's the number to call and share your thoughts. We'll take a break and come right back to begin that discussion. Right after this. You're listening to PRN Radio. I'm Eutrice Lead, and the program is Lead Stories. We're talking about a very dismal picture that confronts us today. Nobody's talking about it really. But you know me, if it's not to be talked about, that's exactly what I want to talk about. 888-874-4888. Tony from Orlando, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine, you Chris. How you doing?
Good. I'm hanging in.
Well, I'm done with well, I've been done for the, with these politicians, with these false promises, and I hope now people, more people, will see that this Democrat Party is just as bad, if not the, I mean, it's the same as the Republican Party. They just, you know, tell people what they want to hear on both sides. Both parties basically tell people what they want to hear. They play on everybody's fears. And as we can see with this Haitian crisis on the border, the Democrat Party is the same, is cut from the same piece of cloth as what they want people to perceive that the Republican Party is, that they're a bunch of racists. It's the same white supremacist party, and I'm done with it. I've been done with it. It's the uniparty. It's all, they don't represent the masses of the people. They only represent a certain caste of people in this country, like David from Brooklyn always tells us. You know, and I don't want to blame Joe Biden for everything, because after all, Kamala Harris is the one responsible for the border, remember? Where is she? Still in Vietnam? And whatever happened to making Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. a state? Nobody's talking about that anymore.
So, where does this put, let me get it very personal. Where does it put you? Where are you now in your
You
decision
Trees,
making about this issue?
I know Ed from Brooklyn likes to talk about politics is local, but I am done with politicians. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I got to do to survive in this country. Okay? And that's it. And I'm going to take care of my family, my neighbors, and my friends, and that's it. I'm done. I am done. I mean, look at talking about, I asked you, whatever happened to making Puerto Rico a state? We have a local congressman here where I live at that brought up a bill, okay, to put that agenda on the floor of the House, okay, to make Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. a state, okay, which was the one of the fake promises that they promised. AOC, the progressive darling, what does she do? Instead of getting on board with the agenda, she goes and creates a competing bill. So now you split the vote amongst your party, and basically the agenda goes nowhere. And that's where it happened to that issue. So, you know, they don't work. They don't work for the masses of the people. They work for their own interests. Okay? What difference does, I mean, why would you do that? Why would you go against your own party, okay, or your own fellow congressman and create a situation in which now this bill will not have enough votes to make it to the floor when you have the majority in the House, okay? Because they don't want to work for the people. They want us to continue begging for these bones, okay? Keep begging for the bone and keep like a little puppy dog, waiting for the little treat to be thrown a treat at. Well, guess what? The treats are drying up. All the bones are drying up. And like David from Berkeley, I believe he said before, sometimes they want to collect the bones back. So we're going to start seeing where now they're going to expect us to give the bones back.
Do you think that this issue is going to occupy a substantial amount of thought and time for you in the immediate future?
No, because I'm already done. I'm done with the Uniparty. I'm done with it. They don't represent me. I'm not part of the caste system that benefits from their agenda. And so it doesn't really benefit me to support that. It's like what you were talking about, how ironic it is that they want to get a Haitian American to incarcerate his own people. They do that all day long. That's why it doesn't occur to them how ironic that is. It's because they do it all day long. Right now, I believe the head of immigration is a Cuban American. Okay. And in July, they told Cuban Americans that wanted to come to the United States to not come. And I believe it happened around the same time that the earthquake occurred in Haiti. They told Cubans and they told Haitians, don't come because we will deport you. They told them that. And so they're used to getting their it's part of the whole conquer and divide. They've conquered a people and they divided us, and then they use us against each other. That's why about a week ago, I had said that I didn't agree with David from Brooklyn when he said that Larry Elder was their Negro. It's because that's part of that game plan where they conquer and divide us and they separate us and then they use us against each other. They do that every single day. That's why for them it is normal to do something as blatant as put an ad in the paper as to say, we need a Haitian American to incarcerate his own people.
Thanks, Tony. I thank you for being as open and as frank as you have been and continue to be. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
How are you? Okay. It's really, really windy here in New York. I think we're like going to have a hurricane. But anyway, I so thoughtfully listened to you because I feel so pinched right now, so encroached upon. I feel like I'm an American gladiator. And I can't, you know, I heard this morning on NPR that if you had COVID and you went to the hospital now, and they thought that you could not be cured, they were simply going to send you home. And I thought, wow, they don't do that for cancer patients. They don't do that for, you know, I don't know that they do that for anybody, but they're going to start doing that if you have COVID in their opinion. So they're not sure if you can be saved or not, but in their opinion, if you're too far gone, we're just going to send you back home and you can finish out in at home, which, you know, most people probably would like that at the end of their life, but being given no choice, I found stunning. I'm very much in the place that you're talking about now. I don't have to wait. I'm already there. Okay. I think I told you the other day, and you know this, that when Biden stopped everything all at once, so all the unemployment benefits were cut all at the same time. Just every program has been cut. So because it's at the same time, there is a glut of employees that need to be employed. So it gave the employers a windfall because now they can really cut our salaries. They cut our hours. I mean, for me right now, I am working a total of 8 hours a week. I am making $10 less an hour. And I went in the other day to check on one of the counters I used to work at. And the woman that was working there told me, I cover like every store. I don't just work here. She's working like 6 days a week. And you know, the funny thing was, she kept saying to me, but I work for this company and I'll do whatever they ask. And I thought, wow, you're doing 10 people's jobs. You have two kids at home, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and you still have this allegiance. So I just want to go on record saying that, you know, for me at least, I'm already here and a lot of other people are here. And I am grateful just for the 8 hours I have. You know, my parents lived through the depression. I don't know if this is going to be a depression, but what really, really pisses me off is that, you know, I had a job. I was doing well on March the 23rd of 2019. I get a call that everybody in our company has been pink slipped. And you know what else really makes me mad is when people talk about unemployment as if you're some kind of bum if you're on unemployment. I'd like to know what else you're supposed to do. You know, the rents never stop being asked for. You have to have a place to live. Mortgages don't stop because you lost your job. And I feel that there's still so many people that are working class people that will talk against each other. And if you hear it on the news at night, I remember my sister said to me the other day that, well, this is a, you know, a devoted Democrat who watches CNBC. And now the line on CNBC, it's almost like Fox 5 is feeding her the line. So the line that they're being fed is, well, people just won't go back to work because they're making too much money on unemployment. So they're just not going to go back to work. So, you know, I mean, you have Democrats, liberals fighting amongst themselves, going against themselves. And by the way, that job for the Haitian interpreter to put people in prison, that's going to be filled in a heartbeat. Are you kidding? There's always a sellout. There's always somebody who's going to come and sell out to the other. It's the nature of the system we live in. It's a brutal system. And in our generation, I don't think we have not felt the effects, not like my parents did, where, you know, it came down to, for my father, one meal a day. I mean, geez, he was so poor. They, you know, so poor living in the South. Mom lived in Philadelphia. She had one brown dress that she had to wear every day, come home and wash it out. Parents split up. They had to split families. So, you know, this is not the lowest we can go, and people should brace up. But it is just unbelievable to me, and makes me so angry that all this stuff happened because of this disease. That if you can trace it back to the lab, you know, it was manufactured because you can see the money that was paid to make it that way. And yet everyone has had to pay for this. And we're just at the beginning of that. But Jeff Bezos, he gets to stand up there. He gets to thank his employees for paying for his trip to the moon. While everybody else down here, you know, they plundered us. They plundered us. Jeff Bezos, Walmart, these people are so amazingly rich and they made so much money. And it was so well planned. Because if you remember during the pandemic, lots of things were closed. But there were like three stores that were open and they just made so much money. They made such a killing. So, you know, on the backs of us, they made a killing. And here we are and we can't even get the jobs again. There's you can go out and look, but there's no jobs. And it's just really, I'm telling you that I feel afraid.
Already.
I don't have to wait.
Right now. In your mind right now, what are you bracing yourself for in the immediate future?
Look, I am bracing myself for, honestly, catastrophe. I believe, and I'm not a negative thinker. I'm just looking at the way things are. You know, global warming is here big time. And I live in New York, so I'm surrounded by water. So, you know, I'm bracing myself for that. Even if the planet didn't end, we're going to have such severe weather. It's very, very scary. So I'm bracing myself for that. And I'm bracing myself. I'm trying to figure out how to survive on this little bit of money. So what I've already done is I've already gotten a credit card that won't have any interest for 1 year. And so what I'm doing is, rather than spend the money that I have in the bank, I have money saved in the bank. I'm using that credit card with no interest. And hopefully if work picks up, I'll be able to pay that. But don't you think that's an obscene way of living? You know, there was a time in my work life when these stores that hired us would not pay unemployment. They, by law, did not have to pay us unemployment. However, they were allowed to use us just like regular employees at 40-hour work weeks. So, you know, I thank God that we are able to get unemployment. But understand, the unemployment in New York for me this last couple of years was only $259 a week. That's not a lot of money. Very, very hard to make it. And the reason why it was so low is because what they've done is they've deemed almost everybody here what they call freelance or independent contractor. So you have to sew together with different companies a work week. And it's very hard to get that work week up to 40 hours. So if you're not making it up to 40 hours and you do become unemployed, your unemployment is going to be very low. So for most people who got unemployment this time, it's never high anyway. It's only 405 in New York, but it was pretty low. So for me, I'm already thinking out of the box what I have to do. I remember the reason why I brought up that up to you is when I became unemployed in cosmetics many years ago, I figured out to get a credit card and to live on that until the work came around again. And that's how I used to have to live with no unemployment. So now there's no unemployment. I have very good credit, thank God. And I was able to take a credit card out with no interest. But I think it's crazy. And I feel like I'm getting squeezed tighter and tighter. And it's just, you know, it's not going to be comfortable. And I know it's not. But I thank God for the things that I do have. I thank God that I'm in a rent-stabilized building. I mean, you know, it's hard all over the country to get an apartment. So I do have some things that are, you know, very good for me, but it's going to be a slog. It's going to be a real slog. And I'll tell you something. I think with the left and the right now, there's a group of people that do not want to be forcefully vaccinated. And you see that these groups of people more and more are beginning to talk to each other. And I think that the government should be careful because these two groups could end up being a very powerful force. And, you know, I don't think anybody likes being treated like this. Nobody likes to be treated like a leopard. Nobody wants to be told you can't come to work. I mean, how dare this government, how dare them tell you that you're not allowed to work? Who the hell do they think they are? It's not bad enough that there's no jobs out in there, but now you're telling me, unless I stick this crap in my system, that you're going to not allow me to work. If I get sick, you're not going to treat me at the hospital. What is this about? Are we in like some barbaric gladiator war here? I feel like we're like, you know, all up for sacrifice. It's very, very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Thanks, Gwen, for contributing as meaningfully as you have today and as you do always.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. As you can tell, this is a very serious subject, probably so serious that people can't wrap their heads around it just yet. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ed.
Well, like I said yesterday, welcome to the Great Reset. You're going to own nothing and you're going to like it. They've flooded the job market. They've used this COVID-19 it was a perfect storm, and they used it. And now we're in the implementation of it. I mean, the only thing that I can suggest to anybody is what I've always said, get involved in local politics. Find politicians locally that are not with this agenda, that are not with this nationalist government ignoring people and leaving us to the wolves. Spread the word. Try to educate more people on what's going on, how capitalism is dying, and how this is going to affect your life immediately. Try to ease your dependence off of things. You know, if you can, convert your house to solar. I'm looking into that. Try to cut costs and be more self-sufficient, and try to build like-minded people, get with like-minded people, like-minded communities. And work on local initiatives. National politics is dead. And this thing, you know, people, conspiracy theory, whatever, this thing was planned. And it was planned to control the populace of the world through constant serfdom. You're becoming a serf. You're not going to own anything. You're going to be lease lend to a few major corporations. A few major consolidated organizations are going to control all of the aspects of your life, and eventually you're just going to work to get out of debt. And those are the only solutions that I have right now.
That's a very dismal picture, Ed.
But that's what it is.
How could people possibly prepare for that?
Say again?
I said it's a pretty dismal picture that you paint. How could people possibly be prepared for that?
Well, you got to get your head out of your third point of contact and see what's going on. This government doesn't care about you. This government doesn't care about us. I mean, you know, you're in the middle of a pandemic. You can't get health care. When we're trying to cope, the economy is allegedly supposed to be coming back. But there are fewer jobs, and there are fewer jobs of any real substance. They're turning us into, like in the Middle Ages, you live on the Lord's land, you farm the Lord's land, you give the Lord a percentage of your crops, and he gives you enough to sustain yourself and your family and make more crops. That's what they're doing. They're feeding us. It's going to come to a point to where, and in some countries it's already there, if you got too much money in the bank and it doesn't move, they're charging you a fee. I mean, come on. They want to turn this into a living debtor's prison. And America is going quietly into the dark night. And like I said,
So now give us an assessment, because Biden is not supposed to be like this. He didn't say that this is what he was going to do and be.
Well, once again, oh my God, a politician lied to us. Really? You're kidding, right? You're joking, right? Politician lied to us? No, I don't believe. Papa Biden? No. Uncle Joe was going to fight for 15 and give us free health care and rebuild the infrastructure and do and everything that the Democratic Party and him and i.e. the POTUS ran on, they've compromised or just given up. I mean, what is that telling you? Like I said, this is, you got to read. I urge people to read the book by Klaus Schwab, The Great Reset. There's a lot in there, and a lot of what's in, he wrote this book in 2016, and a lot of what he wrote is happening right now. Read it. That'll give you a good, in my opinion, it'll give you a good perspective as to what is going on, right? Whether it's coincidence, whether it's design, read it, and you'll see. A lot of the stuff that he mentioned, a lot of the new businesses, the lack of ownership, the dependence on corporations to do government jobs, it's all coming to pass.
For yourself, do you think you will survive it?
I mean, I'm going to do the best I can for myself and those in my family. I mean, as far as surviving, they don't want to kill you. They want to make you usable. They're looking at us as like a commodity. And as long as they can make a profit off of you, they'll allow you to live. And, you know, until people get together, like I said, it's got to be a local effort. Until people get together locally, start to control your borough, start to control your county, start to control your city, you know, get involved in local policies, because I've always seen the best results from that. I never forget Charles Barron, Operation Power, Operation Push, how he and us reconfigured East New York. They were going to have all these big box stores come in. They were going to take over that part of the city. They allowed the police. They allowed crime and police.
Oh, I just heard some music. Means we got to go. Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. We pick up again tomorrow. Thank you so much for calling in today and contributing, everyone. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.